I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from Patriots training camp, it is Jones and Keefe on WEEI. It is day 7. Pads are on. Out here, is that right, Keefe? What are we seeing? We see shoulder pads.
No pants, though. It looks like helmets. Helmet and shoulder pads.
So just helmet, yeah. Shoulder pads.
In fact,
here today.
Jones, look at this. Better late than never.
You got the Binox?
I got Binox today.
Nice.
I got brand new Binox. So if you want somebody that's got everything for you, it's me.
Eagle-eyed.
Oh, yeah.
Locked in. You just heard the horn. Sign the start of practice out here. Some interesting stuff from Vrabel. We're brought to you, by the way, by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. At McFarlandEnergy.com. We're all parked here today, Keith. It took us both a while to find parking.
Oh, yeah.
Traffic not great coming down.
No, it's slammed out there. Why are there so many people?
I don't know. But let me tell you, it's a good turnout here today compared to yesterday, despite another hot one for the Pats. A few takeaways from Mike Vrabel. He started off by saying there will be no Christian Gonzalez for the rest of the week. Not a shock. Today looks like a lighter practice than yesterday. Tomorrow's scheduled to be a walkthrough. I believe Friday night they're practicing in the stadium for season ticket holders.
Yep.
So I think it's not a shock you won't see him for the rest of the week, but Vrabel did confirm that today. He said they have a plan for guys like Carlton Davis, Morgan Moses, even Harold Landry, guys who they're going to manage. So he seems to be indicating anyway that they're managing Carlton Davis more than anything else, which I would say is a positive update there. He also was asked, and he was busting balls there with Mike Giardi a little bit, about the quarterback run plays, Keith, which we saw some of yesterday.
I'm pro.
He didn't want them running, or reporting, rather, on running plays at practice. But he did say that's something players need to be smart about. I'll summarize here. You don't want Drake May running everybody over.
Of course.
You got to utilize the rules and give yourself up on some of these plays. But he did say, like, that's something that it's critical that it's going to be available to us, the quarterback runs. And I thought that was one of the more promising things we saw at practice yesterday.
Yeah, because you're wondering if the offense – it's going to be the same, and some of the like verbiage is going to be the same. It's got to look different, though, than the last time we saw it with Josh McDaniels. And even though he got a successful year out of Mac Jones and they scored some points, all right, how sustainable is that? Clearly, once McDaniels left, Mac Jones turns into a pumpkin. And so they're very different type of quarterbacks, though. And so if this offense is going to take a step forward, if Drake May specifically is going to take a step forward, I would think he is going to have to run. We went over the quarterbacks before, like the top rushing quarterbacks from a year ago. All those guys had massive seasons. All those guys' teams did really well, right? With the exception of like Kyler Murray, running quarterbacks actually have a ton of success.
I thought when you did it by rushing attempts, not necessarily yards, but when you did it by rushing attempts, I thought the top five in rush attempts for quarterbacks all were in the playoffs.
Yep.
You had the Super Bowl winner in Jalen Hurts. You had two other guys.
Top two MVP
in conference
candidates.
Championship games. Right. Like, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer.
Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels were in the NFC Championship game. Then, so you're the two best rushing quarterbacks in the NFC. And then the two of the best in the AFC were 1-2 in the MVP. And so, but it's not just, hey, you got to make your quarterback run. Drake May can do that. So, like, let's see Drake May do it. He was successful doing it in college. We saw him even last year do it. And there is a fine line. Like, I think people sometimes get caught up in, like, oh, running quarterback? Like, what do you want him to, like, running the option? Or like, no. Or, like, tuck it and run nonstop? No. Nobody's asking for 20 carries a game or even 10 carries a game. But it's got to be used in a manner where, all right, picking up first downs, keeping the defense guessing, that kind of thing. Run smart. Still look to pass. It's one thing that I think you can tell when people don't watch Lamar Jackson play,
right,
and they just see the stats.
Oh, he's just a runner.
It's like, all right, how does he throw for 40-plus touchdowns then? You know, how does he finally – they had a wide receiver in the Pro Bowl last year, for God's sake. So it wasn't just Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. They would throw the ball quite a bit. And he looks to the second, third read. That's something that I'm sure McDaniels is preaching too with Drake May. Is like, all right, on this play, if the first guy isn't there, it doesn't mean you tuck it and run. But also – you know, you're athletic enough where you don't need to take sacks or throw it away as much either, right? You're like, you have that athletic ability to get out and run. And so if this offense is going to be the best version that it can be based on the personnel, I'm guessing Drake May is rushing for close to 600 yards, you know, maybe even more.
So you mentioned Lamar Jackson, and look, completion percentage isn't everything, but for his career, Lamar Jackson's now at 65%. He was almost 67%.
And that's probably gone up, right,
yeah,
over the last few years.
He was almost 67% each of the last 2 years, 67.2, 66.7. So he really was at 67% the last 2 years. And I agree with you. You watch Lamar Jackson, you watch Josh Allen. Maybe Hurts isn't as good at this as those other two, but it's go to your first read, go to your second read, go to your third read. If that's not there, then maybe you scramble.
That's good.
And you have design run plays mixed in there as well. I was reading Phil Perry yesterday, his Drake May recap. He does a daily recap of May. Curran does a daily recap of the receivers. They're pretty good. And he said, and I didn't realize this, I knew May had a good running year. May had the best yards per attempt of any quarterback in the league last year.
Yeah.
7.8. That was better than Lamar. It was better than Kyler Murray. It was better than Jaden Daniels.
During Keith's Keys, I think we were talking about it was like one of the best in like league history, wasn't it?
Wouldn't you use that? I get not wanting to be a guy who goes to his first read, it's not there, they take off. I completely get that.
Yeah, right. There's a ceiling to that type of quarterback, right? But this what we're talking about is different. And also another wrinkle, too, and we saw some of it down here when they were running plays from the five-yard line, goal line stuff. We've seen different versions of this Patriots offense over recent years. Some have been atrocious in goal line situations. Some have been a little bit better. But that's just another weapon. Like, if the Buffalo Bills,
it's a good threat down
they
there.
Have Josh Allen, right? So it's like, all right, you could also hand it to James Cook. Maybe, you know, we'll see. One thing to look for, too, is, you know, Hunter Henry had a decent touchdown season under Josh McDaniels, right? So you wonder if Hunter Henry will be more of a target. Because there's been some years it feels like they go away from him in the red zone. Other years he becomes, like, a priority. But just another wrinkle, whether it's Ramondre Stevenson, assuming he's holding on to the ball, or it's a tight end, or Drake May, like that just makes your offense that much more dynamic in the red zone.
So you can discuss your thoughts on Drake May running this season. We saw some of that at training camp yesterday, as we told you, on day six. Day seven here today with a walkthrough scheduled for tomorrow. We'll see what the Patriots actually do on the field as it is underway here live from Gillette Stadium, brought to you by McFarland Energy. It's a short program today. Red Sox are in Minnesota. We'll have some Sox talk coming up on the show, but pregame begins at 12:10. First pitch a little after 1 o'clock here on your flagship station for the Red Sox, WEEI. We got Would You Rathers on a Wednesday, plus all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. You can also interact on Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keith. Still a lot of activity on those Sandler tiers yesterday, Keith.
Many people
are saying perfect tiers.
Yeah, that's true.
We love your tiers.
A lot of perfect tiers.
Couldn't have possibly done better.
Your tears move me to tears, I thought many times, people were saying.
So you can find those there at Jones and Keith. Watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. You can do the same. Watch and chat at YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI.
You know who I spotted as well with the Binox?
Oh, who's that?
Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla.
Oh, he's here. Vrabel was talking
Celtics
about
head
him.
Coach Joe Mazzulla. I got eyes on him right now.
He's here with his son.
Terp's going to pop down there, probably leave us, go get a one-on-one with
him.
No.
I think Terp has his eyes on somebody else who's present here today, not Joe Mazzulla. I think he has eyes on another individual.
That could be true.
Who used to work in the market.
Hey.
We'll get to your feedback coming up. We got some thoughts on the Patriots rookie class. Good day for the rookies yesterday, especially those on the O-line. That's right after
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Ending with Billy Lanny.
I thought Jared Wilson had an outstanding day. And actually, to me, the most interesting thing that we saw today is it looked like, and it wasn't steadfast, but it looked like today was the first day where the Patriots decided, hey, let's give it a look, see what it looks like with our two rookies on the left side of the line together. So you had Will Campbell and Jared Wilson basically at the starters at those positions. Jared Wilson did, you know, rep at center and continue to do that. You wonder how much, if Bradbury's down, does that now end the experiment of Jared Wilson? I mean, I'll just say this. I think through this part of camp already, I think it's pretty clear to me that Jared Wilson is an NFL starter. now the Patriots just have to figure out what's best.
Alex Greg Bedard recapping day six yesterday. Pats had their second consecutive padded practice. Today, shorts and shells, going through some stretching right now. In front of us at Gillette Stadium, Jones and Keefe live in Foxborough, presented by McFarland Energy. Interesting update to that, Keefe. Bedard pretty bullish on Jared Wilson, his day yesterday. We told you a lot about that as it was unfolding yesterday. Will Campbell had a good bounce back day after his first day in pads on, what was that, Monday as well. There is no Garrett Bradbury today. He left early yesterday. He is not out there today. He's in a group with Christian Gonzalez, Carlton Davis, absent again. Harold Landry, who Vrabel told us is going to get the day off. Tavai, Farmer, Durant, Travion Williams, and your guy, Demir Blankensy.
What?
Those guys aren't out there today.
All right.
But no Bradbury. It's Ben Brown at center, and it's Jared Wilson at left guard, which to me lets you know, not only did he pass by guys like Cole Strange and Caden Wallace, who's working more at guard in this camp than a year ago where he was a tackle, without your starting center, quote-unquote, Garrett Bradbury here today, it tells me they're looking at him at guard.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. It seems like the draft class has a chance to be even better than we thought, and it went in with pretty high expectations, and we keep focusing on the first three picks. Might be more than that. I mean, if they end up with two starting offensive linemen.
As Bedard said, both on the left side, too.
Yeah.
If you get Campbell and Wilson, your left tackle, your left guard, on the first 2 days of the draft, it is pretty. I mean, we're a long ways from knowing
sure
if that's what it's going to be, but if that's what it is,
but
that,
it is,
that would be great.
It is trending towards, obviously it's early, but it's trending towards those two guys being more impactful than even Henderson and Williams as of right now, right? Like, Williams has had his ups and downs, but you do have Diggs, you do have Pop Douglas, you do have Kayshon Booty, so it seems like three guys might be ahead of him as far as the depth chart and as far as just opportunities on the field are concerned. And then running backs, it's been kind of hard for me to tell, but I feel like Ramondre is leading all the drills. You still have Gibson, so Henderson, you know, there's been praise for Henderson. Obviously, he comes out of college as a really good pass blocker, which will get him on the field sooner rather than later. But that's kind of a crowded backfield. And so if you're looking for immediate impact, it might come more from the offensive lineman.
No, I think that's fair. You know, Henderson right now, I mean, he's mixing in with the first team, but you're right. He's behind Ramondre Stevenson. He's behind Gibson when we see a lot of these drills. He's actually out here with Gibson returning kicks right here, or the up man returning kicks with Gibson. Kyle Williams feels like he is fourth-ish on the depth chart. It's probably him or Kendrick Bourne right now. He feels a touch behind Kayshon Booty, never mind Pop Douglas and Steph Diggs at the top of the depth chart, and that's before Mac Hollins is out there. He's another guy missing today, still on PUP. So that's probably the right way to say it. Like, the guys who are going to make the biggest impact the quickest, at least on offense, maybe Woodson, the eraser, mixes in on defense.
Yeah, that's another one. Maybe your kicker. Hopefully your kicker.
Hopefully your kicker, though the reports on
him. I was locked in on that earlier, too.
Haven't been good. He's 6-for-6 yesterday, but everybody's like, yeah, they weren't close kicks. I wasn't super locked in on that, to be
honest. It was a shaky 6-for-6, many were calling.
Yes.
Which, I guess, you know, it's a results business, Jones. If he's making his kicks, he's making his kicks. But I guess it wasn't with a lot of confidence. But, yeah, these two guys have been going back and forth. But, yeah, the rookie class, I mean, they needed help on the offensive line, clearly, desperately. And what's funny is, what was the guy's name? Was it Jonah Williams? The reports were in the second round, instead of Henderson, they really wanted another guard.
Oh, no. Not Jonah.
No.
The guy who Miami drafted.
Yeah, what the hell is it?
I don't remember.
The doesn't
guy
matter.
He went pick 37.
Yeah, but he was a guard. So they wanted another guard after taking Campbell, and they may have gotten it in Wilson a few rounds later. So,
yeah.
I mean, we'll see. He's trending in the right direction.
Well, I think he's going to be one of your five on the O-line. I mean, the way things are trending now, and again, it can all change.
Yeah.
Like, day one, Will Campbell didn't look great, we told you. Day two, he looked better, so we're just kind of reacting to that. I think he's one of your five. I think the way they're utilizing him, that's pretty clear. But without Bradbury today, him lining up at left guard and Ben Brown getting reps at center, who got a lot of reps at center last year for this team, not good ones, I would say that's telling you they're looking at him as their left guard. And that would be my takeaway early on.
Who do you think's
today
the leader for center?
I think it's probably Bradbury.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, that is, and we started the show with Mike Vrabel's little media availability, and he does seem to talk about the veteran guys, kind of lumps the veteran guys together, and some are just not out there in cases, or some are getting shut down a little bit. So between Carlton Davis, Morgan Moses, Garrett Bradbury, I don't know. He didn't seem overly concerned, did he? He was just sort of like, hey, we got a plan, you know, for all these guys. Meanwhile, we're up here. We're like, ah, oh, where's Davis? How come he's not out there? Morgan Moses is leaving. Is he not the right tackle? Because Karin made me feel a little bit better yesterday when I was like, is there a chance that Moses isn't the guy? He's like, no. Moses is the guy. It's, you know, whether he's still good or not and remains healthy, but he's like, there's no doubt in Curran's mind.
He'll be the right tackle.
Week one, Morgan Moses, right tackle.
I feel a little better after listening to Vrabel today about Carlton Davis.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds more like management than anything. Gonzalez, we keep hearing, Curran said it yesterday, day to day. Garigian reported the same thing. She said day to day. So that feels like that's coming out from the team that Gonzalez should be back sooner rather than later. Curran even said maybe for joint practices next week, which I think would be tremendous news if he's back out there for that. So no, I largely feel better about the injury situation. We'll monitor it with Bradbury and certainly how they're sort of managing Morgan Moses on a pitch count there on the right side. You mentioned the other rookies though. Kyle Williams, Phil Perry also does a stock up, stock down every day. On NBC Sports Boston, one of his downs yesterday was Kyle Williams, who he said was on the receiving end of one of the prettiest passes all day. Drake May lofted a touchdown pass down the right sideline to Williams that was perfectly dropped in the bucket. He said prior to that, and we talked about these reps in real time when they happen, Williams dropped a back shoulder pass from May that hit him in the hands, and he's had occasional drop issues at Washington State as a collegian, and he's had multiple passes go through his hands at this point in camp. He had a great day one.
Yeah.
Since then, I feel like largely when you notice him, it is for something like that. A drop pass, or there was one throw in the right corner yesterday that I thought May missed him on. I would put that more on May than on him. But it hasn't looked like that after a strong showing on day one where he's making catches on the sideline on Christian Gonzalez.
I mean, after day one, we were talking about it might be a Diggs-Williams one-two punch.
That hasn't really looked super locked in between he and May.
No, unfortunately not. Now, he does have game-changing speed, so you wonder if are there certain packages that McDaniels will feel comfortable using them, and maybe he's like a big play guy. It doesn't feel like he's going to be a guy that's getting a bunch of snaps necessarily, but there's a long way to go. There's the joint practices. There's three preseason games where I assume Diggs plays little to none. Matt Collins is going to play little to none. You know, so that might be an opportunity for Kyle Williams to kind of shine a little bit. Because you can't be the guy that drops passes when you don't even get that many thrown your way, right? Like, it's going to be just fewer and fewer. But he does have a skill set that I don't know if anybody else on the team has. So, you know, that combined with being the third-round pick. Like, he's for sure on the team. It's just a matter of, all right, how much are we going to see him on the field?
617-779-7937. Good day for the rookies yesterday. Offensive line coming around the last couple of days, it felt like, in full pads. Lighter practice today. We'll see how much we can read into it. Walkthrough scheduled for tomorrow. And then they're in the stadium on Friday night for season ticket holders, another walkthrough type of environment. So should be a lighter couple of days here for the Patriots. Jones and Keefe taking it all in live at Gillette, brought to you by McFarland Energy. Get back to your phone calls on this. We'll also get to the Boston Red Sox. The warning signs, Keefe, or the signs anyway, are that this deadline could be a bit of a letdown. We're getting closer and closer.
Getting too close.
I mean, what time is the deadline tomorrow? I should know this.
I've heard mixed things.
We're a little over 24 hours away. It's 6?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
Five or six.
You know what? That means Breslau has more time than I thought.
It should be like 2 or 3.
That's what
Why
I would
are we
think. But
okay, 6 o'clock.
Okay, good. Off day tomorrow. Breslau's got until – you got until 6, Craig.
I'll tell you, if the afternoon show gets to play the sounder – throughout the show, I'm going to be pissed if we don't get to play the trade sounder at all and they save all the trades till after 2.
I think we're going to be able to play the trade sounder. Well, yeah, we have a full trade deadline program tomorrow.
I don't know if you want – yeah, okay. You think trades tomorrow? Are you predicting a trade tomorrow?
A good
Red
one
Sox trade?
Or a trade?
How about this? Let me ask you two
questions. Don't make a trade. Will they make a good one? I'm starting to doubt that.
Do you expect a Major League Baseball trade between 10 and 2 tomorrow?
Yes.
No.
Do you expect a – wait, what? What did you say? Do you expect a Red Sox trade between 10 and 2 tomorrow?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I expect both.
That's very optimistic.
Now, I don't know if I expect, again, what we would consider a worthwhile Red Sox. I mean, Breslau made a lot of trades last year.
No, a trade is a trade.
Were any of them good?
The sounder.
Yeah.
Nick, you don't have to play it, but do you have the sounder ready?
Sure.
Just in case. All right. I just wanted to make sure that you have it, because you never know. Trades could happen today, for God's sakes.
I mean, Nick, Keith is locked in. He's got his binoculars.
I got my binoculars. This is my best day yet.
Keith is as locked in as could be. What do you mean, sure?
I saw Mike Vrabel coaching up Milton Williams and Christian Barmore one-on-one. I saw that.
Nice.
He's pulling some of the defensive linemen, doing some individual work with them.
How about that?
Mike Vrabel, very hands-on coach. I'm liking what I'm seeing from here.
It's a whole new experience with binocs.
This is completely different. It's like my first practice.
Okay.
This is incredible. I can actually see the numbers now. I know who's out there.
We'll see what else.
What a thrill.
Keith can glean and pass along through the binocs. Will the Red Sox trade deadline be a letdown? Certainly feels that way.
Yeah.
We'll get to that with your phone calls next.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a big believer that, you know, around this time, you know what you need to do to get better, right? And like I said, we're not a perfect team. So, we'll see what the upcoming days have to bring, you know. And at the same time, it is a different group compared to the last few years. There's not a lot of veteran guys, you know. There's a lot of kids that are playing here that are playing to establish themselves in the big leagues, and I hope they cancel the noise, right? And they just keep playing. So.
Asking Nick, Ospring, I think, in Xfinity Center tonight, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, how about that?
That'd be a nice show.
I was like, hey, good rejoin, Nick. I was like, Ospring's here? He's like, I have no idea.
Yeah, they're right
just, up the road tonight.
Just in our rotation.
I like just got snuck up on me.
Ospring, good.
Cat went to Goo Goo Dolls last night.
Well, not as good.
Not as big of a fan?
Goo Goo Dolls? No.
That sounds Greg,
dude, that sounds horrible.
Who'd they play with?
Ooh, dashboard open.
Dude, Ross.
Honestly, kind of wanted to go there and feel my feelings.
Just an acoustic and emotions. Oh, out of here.
I kind of wanted to go feel my feelings at dashboard.
Dude, Goo Goo Dolls had that one song from the City of Angels soundtrack. One of the worst movies ever.
Yeah, Iris, bro.
Iris.
Yeah.
They'd play that on
TRL. They had that one song? What are you talking about?
Goo Goo Dolls had
the one song?
Maybe two.
Name.
They didn't have
Slide.
Long Way Down.
Long Way Down.
They had too many, I guess.
Only one.
Mount Rushmore, Goo Goo Dolls.
What a sad. I think we just Mount Rushmore. I think that was it.
Do you know what the original name of their band was?
A Boy Named Goo. Mookie Blaylock.
Okay, how about this one? Did you know the song name?
You don't want to answer this one, Bill?
No. I want to say because I was going to forget it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bill.
Whose question am I answering?
I'll remember mine.
Yeah. The song name, right? Their first hit. Do you know who it was about?
Oh, it's about someone.
Wait, Iris?
No
name.
Name. Who name's about?
Right.
Oh. Is it an actress?
It's a female. Yep.
Is it a musician or an actress?
She worked in music. She now works in politics.
Oh my God! Hillary Clinton.
So do you remember? You remember Kennedy?
The Hill Dog.
Kennedy.
Oh,
Kennedy.
It's about Kennedy.
It's about Kennedy from MTV.
Wow.
No kidding.
She now does political stuff.
Nice.
How about that?
Nice.
The original band name for Goo Goo Dolls was Sex Maggot.
Sex Maggot. Okay.
They changed it to Goo Goo Dolls. It didn't really fit the sound of the band.
No,
so they changed
no.
Much, much lamer.
See, you didn't like the Goo Goo Dolls, a sick brag there.
No, okay. I didn't like Goo Goo Dolls at all.
All right, well, I guess I'll strike that from the record, I guess.
Noted.
Don't want to listen to them in my car.
By the way, before we get to Cora, some interesting comments yesterday on WEEI Afternoons.
Yeah.
We noticed the eraser for the first time, Keith. At least I noticed him for the first time. You got the binocs.
I got the binocs out. I saw firsthand he erased Steph Diggs. They were doing some, they would have two defenders, two receivers. Drake May was thrown to the right, probably around the 5-10 yard line. And then Josh Dobbs was working on guys thrown to the left. So they'd run just like, you know, two-man patterns. And nice job by the eraser on Steph Diggs.
How did you make the erased?
Thank you. How did you describe it when he made the play in real time? He didn't just erase him. Yeah, no, it didn't just erase him. I thought he said he gobbled him up.
Yeah, he gobbled him up.
So how about that? The eraser one-on-one with Steph. First time I've noticed him.
Defense looked good, although Jalen Polk did come up with a play. And I also like he's going like Kerry Kittle's one sock up, so he's easy to identify.
Is that a sock or a sleeve?
Well, it's all the way up and down, so maybe it's both. Maybe it's a sock that goes into a sleeve that just never ends.
doing the Kerry Kittle.
He is. He's going Kerry Kittle.
You know what? He did see snatch that one over.
If he's
the,
going Kerry Kittle, it might help him.
Yeah.
Can't hurt.
Javon Baker earlier in this same drill, they're just kind of skying for some catches here over the coaches who have like a pad to knock the ball out.
Yeah.
Javon Baker fell flat on his face at one point in time, so that wasn't great.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, I mean, look, I'm not falling for the Jalen Polk stuff, but I will say he makes he's making a play here and there. I still don't expect him to be on the team, but he's making a play here and there.
Sure.
You can discuss 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe. I wasn't overly encouraged listening to Corey yesterday, Keefe. I don't know if you were on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed any of that, you can check it out on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also listen on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Lots of ways to listen to WEEI. Sean McAdam, I didn't feel great about this, also said the Red Sox have readjusted their sights a little bit to the point where they just need to get a back-of-the-rotation guy, whether that be Charlie Morton.
Oh, we're back on Charlie Morton.
We're back on Charlie Morton. I like
get
his next
out
name.
Of here.
I like his next name more, though, Keith.
Get out of here.
Or Merrill Kelly.
Yes. Oh, see, that's better.
Anybody like that on a rental, to me, those guys are not the same.
I agree.
Merrill Kelly, to me, is probably still not enough at the trade deadline. I'm not going to worship at the altar of Breslow like I have been. But that's a real ad. Charlie Morton is, it might as well be James Paxton for me.
Right, right. Yeah. No. Maybe as more durable than James Paxton. But yeah, you end up the same takeaway. Whereas Merrill Kelly, you're like, all right, that's no doubt better than Fitz. Depending, probably better than Bueller, the way he's going. And then who knows with, you know, I guess the other guys. But yeah, I would take Merrill Kelly. I wouldn't lump those two in together. I don't know if he really, the season he's having, he's probably not a back end of the rotation guy. But yeah, just lowering the bar. Like, why are we lowering the bar so much?
When's the last time Merrill Kelly had an ERA over 4, Keith? Any guesses?
22?
It was last year. But other than that, he went
that
in reverse
mouse trap me. How dare you mouse trap me?
Other than that,
yeah.
322 this year, 403 last year, so barely over 4.
Okay.
329, 337, 444, 259. That's going back to his rookie year. I mean,
he's solid.
So, like,
what's
his
K per nine?
To me, that's a real ad. Like, that is not, it's not, I want more than that. Like, that's not, I'm not happy with that.
No, I know.
But that's at least a real
even
ad.
Just this
what was your
season
question? What's his K per nine?
Yeah, well, just even this season, K's per innings kind of thing.
Where the hell
you
is
have that?
ESPN, you son.
You got this gotcha
oh, here
stats
you go
with the ERA, but
eight,
you don't have a strikeout?
8.5. He's 8.2 for his career.
Okay.
Not bad.
No, it's not.
When's the last time he was below 8? Also last year. So that's Merrill
Kelly.
Had
a down year last year. That's fine.
If that's what we're talking
would
about.
Would you rather have Merrill Kelly? And I know, not to spoil the whole would you rather segment, but would you rather have Merrill Kelly or Dylan Cease?
Oh, Cease.
Yeah, Cease.
No, Cease to me, that's a real top end of the rotation type of ad.
All right, rank these four. Dylan Cease, Mitch Keller, Merrill Kelly, Charlie Morton.
Oh, Morton's at the bottom.
Yep.
Cease is at the top. I think I'd rather have Kelly than Keller, but those two are close.
Yeah, probably is. Although Mitch Keller, I would probably go Cease as well and kind of hope that you get what he was last year. He obviously hasn't been as good this year. But yeah, I'd probably go, I might go Merrill Kelly over Keller, to be honest. I know Keller's name. Keller is probably the most likely to be traded out of that group.
Nick, real quick, This is not necessarily the greatest guy in the world to report, but what was Ralph reporting in the last break? I just went to his timeline. I don't see it.
Did he delete it?
It was from
why.
Yesterday. It was from yesterday, but he basically said the Red Sox are one of 5 or 6 teams that are frantically calling the Twins about Joe Ryan nonstop.
Here's the thing. You don't even have to call the Twins. Just bang outside their door and be like, we're here. We want to make a trade.
Stand out there with a boombox.
Cut the phone line.
Yeah, oh,
so
yeah,
nobody
yeah,
else
no
can
one
call.
Else can make no
nobody
calls
else
going
call.
In or
yeah.
out.
Yeah, no, I know.
And you just now you just can't leave.
Yeah, now you got to make a trade.
Now you got to negotiate with Breslow. Although, right. Is Breslow there?
Probably not.
No, I mean, honestly, that's probably why they're
probably
calling.
Probably not.
If you were on the road with your team, you could actually be there hammering out deals in person.
Yeah, probably not.
But he's probably not even there now that we actually talked this out.
Can you cue our guy, Evan Drellick, Nick?
Lineup's out. Lineup is out.
Yeah, it's a day game. It's a day game today, so the lineup is out. Red Sox going for the it's the rubber match between the Minnesota Twins. They've already changed the lineup. The original lineup had Alex Bregman in it. He has been removed.
Not for the better. Not for the better to change this lineup.
Bregman was in. Bregman is now out. So your lineup for this afternoon in the series finale from Minnesota. Final game before the trade deadline. Roman Anthony in left field leading off. Followed by the Bull, Abraham Toro at third base.
Nice.
in center field, fresh off a 446-foot home run, Jarren Duran.
Yeah, you still want to trade him, huh?
Batting fourth, the now red-hot after being ice-cold Trevor Story. In right field, another trade candidate, Willier Abreu. At first base, they must be facing a righty or a lefty. Maybe they're not.
No.
Romy Gonzalez. No, no. What's he doing in there?
They're basically a lefty. He'd be hitting much higher in the order,
What's he doing in there?
Yeah.
Batting seventh. Your designated hitter, your slap hitter, Masataka Yoshida. Batting eighth at second base, Seidon Rafaela. And batting second leadoff and behind the plate, the man with one extra base hit on the season, and Jones and I were there.
We were there.
Connor Wong.
Keith, I'm not even joking. I think he's locked in now.
We were at the Connor Wong game. He was hitting the ball right on the screws.
He had loud outs. Big time loud outs.
And he got a double. We were at the extra base hit game for Connor Wong.
I know, we were. I now kind of think he's locked in.
I think he is.
He heard all the rumors about a backup catcher, and he's like, not on my watch.
I can't believe they took him out of the game on Saturday. I'm like, he's not in the lineup? Was he not hitting the ball on the button every time?
On the absolute screws.
So he's in there today. So, yeah, not the
best. So Rafael is back at second?
Rafael is at second. Yeah, because they got Duran, Anthony Abreu.
Right. I heard Romy was in the lineup and Toro, but right. Toro replaced Bregman. Romy's at first. So there you go. I mean, Rafael made another absurd play in center field last night.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, he made a really good play over the weekend at second, but he is much, much better in center field, but again, a novel concept—a guy willing to move around, bounce around.
Bayo on the mound. Do you know who the pitcher is for the Twins? Random baseball player of the day.
Not Chris Paddock. They just traded him. It's not Joe Ryan.
He is a righty. A Haas of the week candidate.
Oh, really?
At 6'5", 225.
Wow.
Well, it's 6'5", 225.
225.
6'5".
He's tall.
Yeah, tall drink of water.
My answer is I don't know. Who is it?
His name is Zebby Matthews.
His name is Zebby Matthews. Zebby down.
What is that short for?
I don't know. Great question.
I'll tell you.
Zebediah. Is that a name?
Daniel Zebulon Matthews.
Zebulon?
Zebulon. Zebulon.
That sounds like something you get at the pork store, Billy. Hey, I need a pound of Zebulon is what I need.
His friends call him Zebby. I would probably go by anything else. He could be Dan. His actual name is Daniel.
Yeah, you could just go by his first name.
You could be Danny if you really like the Y. You could just, or Dan's fine.
Hey, I need a pound of Zebulon over there.
Call me Zebby.
Okay.
DZ Matthews.
Or DZ Matthews.
That's badass.
Go DZ at Discovery Zone. That is pretty good.
That's true. He has an ERA around 5.
Red Sox are going to need this one today.
Big game.
I didn't realize they were facing Zebby Matthews today. So big game for the Red Sox. Not loving the lineup.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.